It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hi, I'm Courtney Forrest.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
Welcome back, NHRA fans, to another edition of WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. I'm Joe Costello, and this is another winner's edition following the SummitRacing.com NHRA Nationals out there in Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
A little Vegas action, a little K&N Horsepower Challenge action, and we have got the winners. We have got John Force, first win in a Chevrolet Funny Car since the new sponsorship, first win for a Chevrolet Funny Car in, did I hear, 10 years? My goodness, Chevrolet back in the winner's circle in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. Also on the show, Lucas Oil, Richie Crampton. Three wins. Boy, does this kid win big races or what? Richie Crampton, the Auto Club Road to the Future Award winner, the reigning Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals winner, and now getting his first victory of 2015 early in the season out there in Vegas. Richie Crampton going to be on the show. We're going to ask Richie, how can we increase our listenership down under? See if he's got any ideas. And also on the show, you heard her last week preview the K&N Horsepower Challenge. She was a double winner last year. She went on to win the championship. Well, talk about a double-double. Erica Ender-Stevens repeats her feat from 2014, winning the K&N Horsepower Challenge, then going on to win the event, defeating Vincent Nobile in both races. We'll hear from Erica Ender-Stevens on this show. It's going to be awesome. And one of the WFO Radio listeners out there, a junior dragster racer, tweeted me, heading out to the racetrack this weekend, going racing with the WFO Radio sticker on my car, going to try to win at Gateway. Sure enough, I'm getting pictures tweeted at me from the winner's circle. His name is Jake Metternich, and we're going to have him on this winner's edition, too, just for running our WFO Radio sticker. How about that? We'll hear from Jake Metternich on this show. It's going to be awesome, but first, we start them all off the same way with the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back. It wouldn't be Tuesday if I didn't get to talk to you at some point.
So what are you out there? You're out there in Vegas right now. You're on the high roller. You're hanging out. You're gambling. What are you doing?
Yeah, okay, let's go with that. No, I'm home right this minute and getting ready to head back to Vegas. I had to take a little side trip. I originally was going to spend a week up there, but I had a little side trip came up, so bought a new car, had to go pick it up, brought it home, and now I'm picking up a race car in Phoenix on my way back to Vegas. So ended up being a quick two-day road trip.
I know what the audience is thinking. Like, half the audience is saying, wow, I like this show. It's the first or second time I've heard it. Sounds cool. The other half is saying, Reinhardt bought another car? What? What did you buy?
Well, my 67 Mustang basically is done, and it's been my project for the last 3 years, so I needed another project car. I just have to have something to do. In between races when I'm at the shop, I've got to have something to tinker with. So I went out looking around and bought another car.
Okay, let's all use our brains and think about Alan and all his great appearances on the show here at the start. And, of course, like, what kind of car could this guy possibly have bought? Okay, everyone's thinking about it. All right, you've got your image. Alan, what did you get?
A 1974 AMC Pacer station wagon. Bet that's not what you were thinking.
No, I got to say, it was not in my mind, the Pacer station wagon. But I somehow think that's a bit of a humor.
No, I actually, it's kind of a long story. Maybe some off week when we don't have such a jam-packed show, I'd give some more details of it. But what I bought is a 1966 Cadillac Fleetwood Hearse three-way.
A 1967, did you say?
66.
66 Cadillac Hearse three-way. What's the three-way?
Google it. You'll be surprised. I didn't know either. I saw it you know, originally in the ad it said Hurst three-way, and so punch it up on Google. But these cars were designed to be as flexible as possible. They have suicide doors, which is almost funny in itself on a hearse, with no post in between them. So when you open the front door, you open the back door, you've got about a six-foot-long gaping hole in the side of the car. The coffin table is powered, and it will come up and rotate out of the car so that you can load the casket from either the left side or from the right side, or the traditional loading it from the back, which is hence the three-way. They're not, you know, it's not the only one in the world by any means, but it is not the normal configuration. It's kind of a, I don't know if upgrade is the right word, but it's a different configuration, and it's just a neat car. It's a running, driving, old, classic hearse. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it, but I'm the only one on the block that has one, so there is that.
Does it have the curtains in the window?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. If you followed me on Twitter, I put a picture of it up yesterday when I put it on the trailer headed home.
Well, I'm going to retweet that picture right now so that the WFO audience that doesn't already follow you at NHRA Reinhardt can see it. Now, why hearse, Alan? Before you answer, though, I don't think it's weird at all. I like the idea. Tony Stewart's got a hearse. I think they're cool-looking cars, especially when you lower them a little bit. And that you mentioned long. It's a long car. It's got a very unique look. Yeah, there's a little Adams Family creepiness about it. But I kind of like the idea. What enticed you about it?
I just stumbled across one, and that's a really long, really funny story that I'll save for another day. But I've been, you know, since the Mustang project is pretty much completed, I'm looking for something else. And so I've been just scouring Craigslist and Auto Trader and some of the other stuff, trying to find, you know, my thought was an old Mustang or maybe an old Barracuda or a something, just, you know, something to work on when I'm at the shop. I stumbled across a hearse. The first one I looked at, the deal kind of didn't happen, so I thought, what the heck? So I just did a search for hearse, and I found this one. And it really is a cool old car. It's got a 429-inch Cadillac motor in it. Everything on it works. It's just a neat car. And like I said, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to do with it, but nobody else around here has one, so I'm unique.
I like it. I like the uniqueness of it, and I can't wait to see what you do with it. Talk about a clean canvas to do with what you want. You could tub it. You could do whatever you want. I can't wait to see how it all turns out. Good luck with it.
I can't either. And, you know, having said that, if tomorrow somebody came up and made me an offer on it and I could make $1,000, I'd sell it tomorrow and then go looking again. So, I don't know. I'm sitting here looking at it in the shop right now, and it's longer. It is longer than it's longer than my Ford stretch cab long bed truck. It really is.
That is outrageous. So the Mustang project is done and the Hurst project begins. And now it's time to get into the SummitRacing.com NHRA Nationals. If you are a first-time listener, this is what it's all about. Car guys talking about car things. And I don't know where to begin, Alan. So many different and interesting storylines. Of course, John Force, 142 career victories. First win with the new manufacturer and the new sponsors. I think that is a great place to start. How about John?
It was just a heck of a day from top to bottom. You know, you look at in qualifying, you know, John comes from right in the middle of the field, nothing special. I mean, he ran okay, but he certainly, you know, he wasn't the odds makers in Vegas favorite. I don't know that anybody looking at their bracket that would have been trying to fill the thing out on either Saturday night or Sunday morning had John penciled in to go that far. But the car just ran very well on race day. It was very consistent. It was solid. Didn't make any mistakes. You know, they had, I don't know if good fortune is the right word, but, you know, had some mistakes made against him, let's put it that way, and motored his way right into the winner's circle again. It was a very interesting day because qualifying was weird. There were some really, really good cars that didn't qualify good. So, you know, you don't normally think first round, Jack Beckman qualifies number two, he's going to have to run Cruz Pedregon. You know, Ron Capps qualified top half of the field, had to run Robert Height. You know, Courtney Force qualified in the bottom half of the field. I mean, it was just crazy. And so from the word go, from basically the first time the tree flashed, I was like, all right, what's going to happen next? You know, Tim Wilkerson runs low ET of race day in the first round. Now, that car's been running really well, so I don't know that was a surprise, so to speak, but it was just it was a great, entertaining day of drag racing, and you really didn't know what was going to happen until the scoreboards came on.
We were wondering how long it would take John to get back to the winner's circle, and maybe some people wondered if he would get back after losing basically his whole team at the end of last year, and just all the chaos, the way the season ended, the manufacturers, the sponsors, all the outside stuff that's just away from him as the driver in the cockpit. And then this year, John Schaefer, rookie crew chief, young team, watching him the first couple of races, seeing John jump out of the car and have to really lead as a leader, as opposed to what he has been doing the past couple of years, where everybody was a KG veteran, everybody knew exactly what their job was. They didn't really require John Force to be out there leading them. This group seems to. John is doing it, and they hit pay dirt pretty early on with two cars in the final round. That's got to make them very happy about their prospects for the future season.
Well, I don't think there's any question. You know, Robert also ran good, came from the bottom half of the field, but ran good to get to the final. And, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine that there were a whole lot of the internet guys going, oh, well, this is going to be a fix, this is going to be a dive, this is because both teams are hungry. Tom McKernan, who is the CEO of the Auto Club, was there. And when those guys, you know, they lit the bulbs and mashed the gas, and the margin at the stripe was 0.002 seconds. If somebody wants to tell me the fix was in for that, then come buy me a drink. I'd love to hear your black helicopter theory about that. One of the other things, though, that, you know, I think a lot of people lost sight of, you know, you talk about, gee, how long is it going to take John to get back after all these changes? He was in the midst of that big championship battle all last year, but he didn't win any races. Do you know the last time he was in the winner's circle?
Not off the top of my head.
Seattle.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's something that I think a lot of people didn't remember, because the way it went in the countdown to the championship, with he and Matt going head-to-head and the points going back and forth, but he hadn't won a race since Seattle of last year. So congratulations to those guys for making it back, and you know, John Schaefer coming in and starting new, and everybody, well, how long is it going to take? Well, you know what? His last team that everybody thought was basically one of the most talented groups in the history of the world went the last 10 races or whatever it was last year. They didn't win either. So congratulations to John Schaefer and to all the guys. They just did a great job. And, you know, the final round's 4:14 to 4:15. Robert Height leaves first by 0.004 seconds. John outruns him by 0.006 seconds. That was the margin of victory. It was just a tremendous way to close out what was a wildly entertaining day of drag racing.
And not to spend too much time on these people who are negative generally in their nature, and it is unfortunate that they even do it, but I'm sure they will come up with some real reasonable to them reason why there was some sort of shenanigans somewhere. My point is that there are people that will say just about anything about anything.
Well, you know what? As long as they buy tickets, they can say whatever they
exactly.
want.
Exactly. Come out and whatever you do. Now, Richie Crampton. How about Richie? Here's a guy who, when he first got announced as the replacement or the heir apparent to Morgan's seat at Morgan Lucas Racing, some people said, wow, Richie Crampton, huh? Interesting pick. Australian kid, now an American citizen, real knowledgeable as a crew guy. Is he going to be the driver? And he's got 3 wins already and has been real successful, both as a driver, but also working with the chassis and the car. This kid continues his ascent.
Yeah, he's just such a good guy. He's a fan favorite. He enjoys going to the shop, working on the cars. I actually talked to him about that in the winner's circle. He says, I wouldn't know what to do if I wasn't doing that. He said, I wouldn't want to be on a team that wouldn't let me pitch in and help and do this stuff. And, you know, really enjoys the hands-on side of it. Also, like I said, has turned into a fan favorite, spends a lot of time at the ropes. But Top Fuel was just exactly like Funny Car. Qualifying was weird. You know, when Antron Brown qualifies 14th, it's like, what? I mean, that's just the way the whole day was. Spencer Massey was in the bottom half of the field when qualifying was over with. Larry Dixon qualifies 15th. He's got to run Tony Schumacher in the first round. Larry lays a 3.79 on him. And Tony Schumacher's out round one. Qualifies number two, runs 3.82 at 3.19. Hey, thanks for stopping by. Go pack up and head for Houston. We'll see you later. It was just that kind of day. You know, Spencer Massey qualified in the bottom half of the field, ran 3.79, and sent Doug Coletta home in the first round. It was just a fun, entertaining day all day long. You know, J.R. Todd, the number one qualifier, was running really good. I think most people probably had him figured as the favorite until he gets into that semifinal round matchup with Richie Crampton, and same thing. 2,000 difference on the starting line and a couple thousand difference on the racetrack. and Richie Crampton goes on, and Larry Dixon smoked the tires in the final, which I don't think anybody really expected. But Richie had a good car, had a good day, and they closed the deal with it. So that's the bottom line.
Great day for Larry Dixon as well.
Yes,
just
it was.
The bounce back from what they went through. I think a lot of people, regardless of how that final round turned out, drag racing fans were going to be pretty happy and leave with a smile on their face, because both guys, this is one of those, it's real tough to create the bitter rivalry between them both, because they're both great guys, great personalities, and a whole bunch of upside to either one of them winning.
Yeah, they both worked at it hard enough, and they both certainly deserve to be where they were. You know, a couple of what I think are interesting notes. That's now five different winners in five races in Top Fuel, and all of a sudden, that Traxxas shootout is starting to fill up quickly. You know, when you look at Doug Coletta's not in it yet, and some of the guys, you know, Steve Torrence is not in it yet, but five different winners in the first five races, and that deal is filling up in a hurry. Who's gonna battle it out and get those last couple of spots will be very interesting going down the line, and who might be the first repeat winner of the season is getting more and more interesting as well. It was also the first time since the U.S. Nationals last year that Don Schumacher Racing did not have a car in the final round. You know, you look at what they've done this year, they've doubled three times. They've just been absolutely tearing up the competition. You know, they hadn't lost a funny car race, but all of a sudden they find themselves shut out of the final round. And, you know, I have all the respect in the world for Don Schumacher and for his teams and for all that they put together, but I think it's more fun when it's wide open competition, and this past weekend it was just one of those days. I know I've said this before, but I firmly believe this. If Vegas was your baptism by nitro, if you had never been to an NHRA race until Sunday at Las Vegas, if you didn't think that was cool, then we don't have anything for you. I mean, thank you for giving us a chance. We appreciate you coming out and checking it out, but you're not going to get a whole lot of races that are just more fun, more entertaining than that. You could win from both lanes. There was zero downtime. I don't believe we rolled the trucks for a cleanup all day long. You know, the sportsman action was crazy in between, and it was just a fun, fun day.
And, of course, Vegas, known for the K&N Horsepower Challenge Pro Stock. Last year, Erica goes in, wins them both, goes on to win the title. We talked to her last week about it. We reminisced, so to speak, about it, what it meant. And sure enough, she goes out and does it again, wins them both, takes down Vincent in the final round of both, which is kind of interesting, just showing you how some teams have it on certain weekends. But Erica able to duplicate the performance with back-to-back Saturday-Sunday victories. And as the champion this time, talk about garnering attention and making a statement and all of these things for Erica Ender-Stevens.
Well, Erica now has not been beaten in Las Vegas since 2013. Think about that.
Wow.
You know, two national events each year, and, of course, the two K&N Horsepower Challenges, but it's just crazy the way that car runs there. She qualified second, and, you know, I got to tell you, watching through qualifying and through, I really thought Jason Lyon was going to be the guy. Qualified number one, ran well in all the rounds, was making good, clean runs, and then just all of a sudden goes 009 red in the second round. And, you know, Erica, it was funny, Erica was not feeling well at all Sunday morning. I mean, literally was sick enough that she didn't come up for the track walk, which she was scheduled to. And Erica does not bail out on the fans without a real, real legitimate reason. They actually, I believe, had a doctor, you know, giving her some IV fluids to try to get her up and around a little bit, make her feeling a little bit better so she could drive the race car on Sunday. And then she comes out in the winner's circle and says, I really have to thank my team because they carried me today. I just didn't feel good, I just wasn't up to the task, and my team carried me. I said, Erica, you won two races on hole shots. And she says, well, yeah, but it's because, you know, they're pumping me up and they're encouraging me, and that's what that whole team is about. There's not a me over there. You know, we did good or we didn't do good. It's never, you know, you saved us, you did this, it's we achieved or we didn't achieve the goal, and, you know, they pack up and head on down the road. But, you know, she beat Greg Anderson with a 001 reaction time on a hole shot. Her and Vincent ran identical elapsed times in the final round. Her starting line hole shot was the difference there. It was a fun day, again, to watch racing. Anytime two cars pulled up the starting line, there was no clear-cut favorite. There was no, well, we know this guy's going to, and it was just a fun day to watch. You didn't know what was going to happen until it did happen.
I'm also wondering, we're celebrating Erica's career right now, and we're going to hear from a young racer, a junior dragster racer, that was kind enough to put a WFO radio sticker on his car and went out and won a Gateway. And I thought to myself, wow, let's have him on the winner's show, too. Maybe a cool thing we'll do with the kids out there if they are junior dragster racers and they're winning with WFO stickers. But during the interview, he mentions Erica and how she's an inspiration to him. And we'll play that later on in the show. But as we celebrate Erica, like how she is now emerging and winning on a consistent basis, winning as the champion, doing great things, Vincent was right there, and I'm wondering, is he the next to kick in the door and start winning at a consistent level? I know he's had some wins in the past and all, but reaching a comfort zone perhaps where next thing you know we might see him go on a string and emerge maybe as a championship racer, because he has been knocking at the door four wide final round, two final rounds here. They are really close to breaking through.
Well, you know, he's got great equipment, and he certainly has shown over the years that he can get the job done. So, you know, could he be the next one to be a legitimate championship contender coming down to the wire? I think absolutely. You know, the competition in that category right now is just ridiculous. It is so unbelievably tight. You know, again, Erica becomes the fifth different winner this year. We haven't had a repeat winner in Pro Stock. And there are a number of pretty good cars that legitimately could be the next winner and keep that string going. You know, I don't think anybody's going to be shocked when Chris McGahey wins a race. And he will win a race, mark my words. You know, Gray Motorsports hasn't won a race yet this year. Larry Morgan did, but the Gray brothers, both who were in the winner's circle last year, haven't won a race yet this year. You know, Alan Johnson hasn't won a race yet this year. I don't think anybody's going to be surprised when Drew Skillman wins, and he will. So while we might not have the, you know, 30, 40 cars showing up trying to qualify that people talk about, well, boy, in the heyday, the competition level was nothing like this. You know, back in the heyday when there were 30, 40 cars qualifying, Bob Glidden was qualifying a tenth of a second in front of second place. And these days, a tenth of a second can be the difference between first and 21st if we have that many cars show up legitimately. The competition's that good. And speaking of Bob Glidden, one last little thing. Erica, with doubling up, winning the challenge and winning the race on Sunday, now in back-to-back years. You follow?
Yes.
The last person to do that was Bob Glidden in 87 and 88.
Outrageous.
Outrageous. And when Erica was like 3 years old.
That is a huge, huge stat, just if you're one of these people. That kind of dominance just doesn't happen in Pro Stock on any given week, and the fact she's been able to do it is a big testimony. And we're going to hear from Erica, folks, just minutes from now. John Force, Richie Crampton, they're all going to be on the show, and we're going to go in-depth about all of this. Alan, great job. Now, I wanted to talk to you about a little social media stuff that's going on out there. Periscope with Twitter and Meerkat, which is one we've been doing live from the studio on our Ignition show, basically live streaming through your phone from wherever you are. I want to get your perspective on it. I believe it is a sea change. It's going to do for all of these things what Facebook and Twitter did. It's going to renew the world. Why would you want to see someone's tweet when you can actually see what they're doing, all these things? But instead of going in depth on this week's show, let's do that next week so we can think about it and maybe even expose some more people to it. I want to hear about Jimmy DeFrank doubling up. This is a great sportsman racer who has had great success, double victory out there in Vegas.
Yeah, he had a heck of a day. And when you look at the guys that he had to race on the way, I mean, he raced Dan Fletcher in stock in one of the earlier rounds. He and Pete Biondo went head-to-head in super stock in one round. He certainly didn't back his way into that thing. But there were, you know, he wasn't the only one. Tommy Phillips won. We're talking about a guy now that has 31 wins in the super categories. And if that's not league leading, it's not too far behind. You know, there aren't a whole lot of guys that have double digits. I literally believe the list of guys that have won 10 or more in the super categories is maybe 10. And he's got 30. You know, Michael Miller wins again. That's one of the real power players in this part of the world. Annie Whiteley, after a 2014 campaign that I think she would like to just completely erase from her memory banks, she comes back out and wins. And if you want to talk about strip dominance, Joey Severance wins Alcohol Dragster. The last time Joey Severance didn't win in Vegas was also 2013. In 2014, Joey Severance won both national events and both regional events in Vegas. He's actually got a better round win streak going in Vegas than Eric Ender Stevens does. That car, for whatever reason, he's a lucky guy in Vegas, and he runs good in Vegas. I'm not saying it's all luck. He's got a very good race car that, for whatever reason, loves the Vegas racetrack. Let's put it like that. But congratulations to everybody that walked out of there with the trophy. It was just a very, very fun event. Good weather, good crowds, another good Vegas race.
Very, very cool. Alan, great job. Thank you very much for sharing the insight. And, of course, even on your own project, the hearse, we're going to want to know exactly what you're going to want to do, and it's going to be fun talking about it here on the show. It was a cool race listening on the stream and, of course, watching on ESPN2. Next race, Houston. I will be there. We will preview it next week. Of course, maybe have a question or two, and at that time we'll delve into some of this new social media phenomenon and what it means for this sport, coverage of, and fan experience, because my brief explorations of it for a couple of weeks now have been great. I have really enjoyed it, so we'll talk about that as well. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Joe, always a pleasure. Great to be here, and you know, there's actually another race up in Las Vegas this weekend. If anybody's in the neighborhood and wants to come by, the regional event, the Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series will be there. I'll call Dragster, I'll call Funny Car, and all of the sportsman cars will be out there at the strip at LVMS. Stop on by Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It'll be a fun show.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Alan, thank you so much.
All right, Joe. We'll talk soon.
There he goes. The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. Get you started off right. And he's got a hearse now. And, of course, it's got a coffin in it. I can't wait to see what he does with it. Great stuff happening here on WFO Radio. We got big things happening. John Force coming up on the show. If you're a John Force racing fan, you are going to not believe what he has to say. You're going to love it. And John talking about the behind the scenes out there in Vegas. Also on the show, Richie Crampton, Eric Ender Stevens, and Jake Metternich, the junior dragster racer who is carrying the WFO Radio sticker. And I think that is a pilot program we are starting here today. Junior dragster racers, later on in the show, I'll tell you how you can get your stickers. If you punch one of our stickers into the winner's circle, we'll have you on the show. And if it gets out of control where everybody's doing it, then I think that's a pretty cool thing. We'll work on that at that time. Also on the show, Bobby Bennett from Competition Plus has got a great story on Competition Plus about John Medlin, Eric Medlin. Bobby is going to be on to tell us all about it. If you haven't read it, you're going to want to hear this. It is tremendous stuff. Some of Bobby's best work. A very tough subject, by the way. Very, very tough subject. Took a lot of courage for Bobby to put it out there, and you've got to decide for yourselves. This is not something that I can editorialize on at all. You are not going to want to miss it. So we've got Bobby Bennett from CompetitionPlus.com. We've got junior dragster racer Jake Metternich. We have got double K&N Horsepower Challenge and SummitRacing.com Pro Stock winner Erica Andrews Stevens, who is the reigning Mellow Yellow Pro Stock champion. We have got Richie Crampton, the Auto Club Road to the Future Award winner and reigning Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals winner who won in Top Fuel in Vegas. And we've got 142-time winner John Force, the 16-time champ. It doesn't get any better than this. WFO Radio listeners, I know you love the show. I appreciate you listening every week. The best thing you can do for us is tell your friends and subscribe and check out our sponsors as we continue to grow. And we try to provide you with great and useful information. I know a lot of you are business people or starting a business or trying to make it with whatever you're doing. Maybe you got a plan or an idea or something you're working on. Maybe you are a longtime successful business person who has already got it all figured out. Regardless, there's something you need to know, which is I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. They are sponsors of the WFO Radio Show. They are supporting the program, and they've got something very cool for you. I know that you know a lot goes into every successful racing-related business, whether it be mechanics or marketing experts. Whatever the relationship, it takes a lot when it comes to building the relationships, and sound, legal, and business advice may help you avoid costly mistakes. Wouldn't it be nice to have someone on the phone that you could call and run your idea or your concept by that can give you some advice and point you in the right direction, that can give you what you need, and when you do it, help you along? Well, Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club, their lawyers, can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. Larry Spiegel was on the show last week. His interview is in the short clips section. We even did a whole podcast volume about entrepreneurship. And right now, From New York to L.A., Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA, General Counsel Club. What does it all mean? The General Counsel Club can assist with how to buy or sell a business, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, what are legitimate business expenses for tax purposes, leasing versus buying options for real estate or vehicles, IRS examinations, assistance with trademarks and copyrights, creation of business entities, draftings of contracts and legal documents. They can assist with it all. But how do you get your free 30 days? That's the question. Go to the front page of WFOradio.com. Click the banner ad that says AmeriLawyer.com. And you'll see a landing page for WFO radio listeners. They're rolling out the red carpet. Enter your information. It's no obligation, no credit card required, none of that. Just sign up and get your 30-day free membership, which entitles you to a printed edition of their Entrepreneurs Alert newsletter. But most importantly, unlimited free business and legal advice. You run your business concepts by them, and they point you in the right direction. It is a great service. I know a lot of our WFO radio listeners have already signed up and are using it. Go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad, and enter your email address and receive your 30-day free membership into the General Counsel Club. Knowledge is power, of course, and knowing that Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club is one phone call away may give you the confidence to succeed during the day and rest well at night, and they are supporters of WFO Radio. When we come back, we're going to hear from John Force, and then later on in the show, Erica Ender-Stevens, Richie Crampton, Bobby Bennett, Jake Metternich, all on this show. Don't move a muscle. We'll be back on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, everybody. Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate, racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now. Now.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Now, Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro following Vegas, baby, Vegas. The SummitRacing.com NHRA Nationals, and John Force Racing gets on the board. First win for Chevrolet, back in a funny car, and he joins us now, the 16-time champ, John Force. John, welcome back.
Yeah, they it's kind of exciting. They told me it's been a decade. So to put two Chevrolets in the final, Robert Height with the Auto Club Ford and me with Chevrolet running their banner, and actually Peak and Lucas, Traxxas, I'm pretty excited.
I can imagine. I wonder, you know, moments like these are great opportunities to reflect on all you've been through. There was no guarantee that you'd get back to this point. You could have gone through all this work and put together this whole new team and had it not work out, but it works out. And really, pretty quickly, as much as some people were saying, hey, Force is not running as great as he should, given all that you undertook, you're back in the winner's circle pretty rapidly. Reflect a little bit now on all the changes you went through now that you're back in victory lane.
Well, just financially, you know, I got hit, but then Chevrolet come on board and Peak and Lucas and Auto Club re-signed a five-year deal, a great, great partner. And then there's Matt Kuhl and Traxxas. The list goes on and on. And we have enough money to race competitive and run for a championship. We have enough money to build safety. So John Force Racing is stabilizing, but we're not there yet. You know, I'm just being honest. I've been humbled by this whole thing. It got my mind right. It seemed like money was falling out of the sky in the last 30 years. And I've had to reinvent myself, and that was with the help of Robert Height. We sat down, we got a game plan over a year ago. What can we really still get the job done? But we had to build some new teams. We took players from Robert's team. We took players from the dragster team, players from the funny car team, my daughter Traxxas. So we changed everything. We're starting all over with a young group of, you know, 40 or less. You know, we've got a couple older guys, but bottom line, John Force has gone back 10 to 15 years, not only financially, but building new teams. I got hit hard years ago, 30 years ago, with Coca-Cola and Jolly Rancher Candy walked away. I lost everything, but I started the same program to build again, so I knew how. But it wasn't that we went out here and knocked them dead. We weren't the fastest cars out here. Schumacher's been winning every race. But right now, it gave us, you know, heart. We knew we could get in the fight game and to get a win. We had a lot of luck this weekend. I ain't trying to kid nobody, okay? But the point is, my car went past the Christmas tree eight times. And I've got a brand new bunch of kids. It's John Schaefer. Hey, I'm wound up today. We ain't done nothing great, but as a team, we put a team back together, four of them, that can still compete. Now we got to grow from here and build. And one day, we'll be John Force Racing again. We're still there in the heart, though.
I like what you're saying, and I have to disagree. I think you did something great because you gave results. You know, there's no guarantee when or if you're going to win again, but you gave results to the folks at Chevrolet, which basically backed up what they thought you could do. But even more important than them, your fans who have been with you this whole time, they don't care if John Force wins with a 398 or John Force wins with a 414. I think sometimes we make too much of the numbers. You won. You turned on the win light four times. You held up the Wally. That's what the fans want to see.
Well, it was the fans were great here at Vegas. We were in a heat wave here. It was hot on Sunday. We're out here testing again. You know, we tested at Phoenix before the season started. We tested at the Phoenix race on Monday. We went to Gainesville and tested on Monday. All four cars, we went to Charlotte and tested on Monday. I'm not broke. I've got enough money to race the car. I'm just not making profit like I used to do, where I had to really evaluate this team and change it enough. I even lost part of my media team. Yeah, I've been hit everywhere, but we knew what it takes to deliver. But understand, I'm not trying to kid nobody. You know, we're in a building stage. But to give my guys, I call them the replacements, like the old football movie, a bunch of young kids, but we handpicked them. We had guys come from top alcohol dragster. We had guys that come from, you know, alcohol, funny car. Mike Neff, John Schaefer, Robert Height, they worked really hard. to pick a team. One kid that came from my hospitality. I said, "You're going to come over here and work on a race car." He said, "I was actually a race car mechanic." I said, "Why'd you take a job in hospitality?" Because they told me it'd be a stepping stone if there was an opening, I'd get that shot because I had credentials. So it's amazing that my guys rallied to put it together. And just to see these young kids, I feed off of their fire. When they're out there young, win or lose, they got the energy. We've been teaching them fun. Hell, we had to teach them how to tow back from the other end of the racetrack. They get so wired up, excited, they get fast, broke the tow strap twice going to the final. We had to change engines. Everything went wrong, and we got the job done. And even the other racers seem to be happy for me. God bless them. They just seem to be happy. Like, Kelly, they want old John Force and Robert Height and the girls in the fight game. We're not there yet, but we got to win. We're going to, just keep building on this thing and make it better. That's what we're doing today.
Well, it says a lot, and I remember seeing you at the four wide on the top end, and it just makes me wonder about how these lessons that you're going through can be applied to everybody. I always do that. Maybe my audience hates it. That's very possible. But I am trying to take lessons out of what you're going through that we can all apply. And the John Force that I saw, barking orders to the guys, getting them motivated, telling them what to do, talking about the car, trying to get everybody in the right place, kind of doing, you reminded me of Wilkerson, because that's what he has to do with his young guys, young team, very young. You didn't have to do that the last 10 years because everybody knew what to do. These guys were old KG veterans. They knew their job. That's not what you did. It was exciting to see that, to see you fired up and kind of leading, like a leader. John Force, the leader, kind of controlling the situation. That was not that you haven't been doing that, but the guys you used to have didn't need it as much as these guys. And I think it was cool to see.
But that's where I need to be. My other team was polished. They were good. They ran themselves. That's why Schumacher wanted the whole team. He just didn't want a couple of people. They were polished. So I'm starting all over. And those kids were good to me and Jimmy Prock. I congratulated them when they won. Jimmy Prock congratulated me today, when we won yesterday. So we're all just trying to make a living. If anything, I was too truthful about my financial problems because I always want, when kids are out there trying to buy homes and start new families, I can't take them down to the wire and then say, sorry, you're all gone. But I put it back together, like I said, and we're able to race. So I'm excited to be with this new group because, it's just, they need me. They need me to keep them fired up. John Schaefer's laughing at me out there in the middle of stuff, worried about getting the engine swapped between rounds. Forrest, we're going to have a lot of that. These kids will get it done. But that was what was awesome. And then all the teams rallied to help. And then we were towing up, I think, for the semis. The tow strap broke. Somebody pulled out in front of us, and the guy hit the brakes and broke the tow strap. And then we put on another one, towed another 100 feet. Broke it again. Finally, I came up on the bike. I was in my fire suit because we were late. And I said, everybody shove the car, get the tow vehicle out of the way. My grandkids, my wife, and everybody's yelling in that big Suburban. And it was so exciting. And even Elon Warner shoving the race car all the way from the pits. I said, I'm not messing with this car no more. Shove it. We're out of time. And they started shoving it. I was on my bike with my fire suit on and helmet, because I had to get right in, and I had my foot out shoving the car. We had pictures of it on GoPro. It was awesome, and we got the job done. A little bit of luck, the good Lord. I don't know why it want to help an old truck driver like me, but he did on Sunday, and it just gave us a whole lot of heart. We're not where we used to be. Mike Neff is leading this charge. He's my new Austin Coyle, has been for the last couple of years. He's got a lot laid on him with this dragster and funny car, working with Todd Smith and Ron Douglas and all these guys. We'll be okay.
The image of Elon pushing the car is one I cannot get out of my head, but it's kind of funny. Let's talk about your round-by-round. Chad had first round, unable to answer the call. You ran a 4:13.8. Then the second round matchup that everyone just loves, the matchup, you versus Hagen. And by going start to finish with a 4:15.8, you did what you had to do, and you were able to get around him. That is becoming the marquee matchup. I know you've said everything you can say about him. He's said everything he can say about you. Now it's about when you come to the line, I would call it just pure drag racing entertainment. That's what people want to see.
Well, he's really a good guy. I watched him grow. I knew he was going to be good. You know what I'm saying? He worked hard. I saw him in the gym. He could outwork me in the gym. Still does. But what I'm saying is, when he wins, you know, he doesn't get cocky. He's like Robert Hight. They're the same. You know, they don't do a lot of talking. They just get the job done. They let it speak for them. And Hagen congratulated me when we won. But if you look at my car, we're not fast. We're not fast like Schumacher. You know what I mean? Right now, his teams. But we'll get back there. But what we were was consistent. But if you look at my numbers, John Schaefer, you know what I mean, made some great calls out there with the help of Mike Neff. But if you look at my numbers, I was deep on the tree every run. First round, second round, third round, and the final. That took ET off. So if you look at the run first round, you know, it was faster. It was probably 11. It was probably a 12 second round. Maybe, you know, a 12 again. My car ran pretty good for the heat. It was good in the heat. So the car looked like it was slow, but consistent, but it was really a whole lot faster. But, you know, I ran 08 in qualifying, but I wasn't there with the Schumachers, you know, when they ran them low lows. So, doesn't matter right now. We're out here learning how to get these teams back, and we got them back 15 years. But at least we got a lot of heart right now. It was a great day, and hell, you even called me to be on the show, so thank you.
Well, you earned it, and that's what we like to do. And sometimes you got to prune the tree, John. Sometimes it just happens. We hear that and see that in all kinds of businesses, and sometimes it just happens that you overgrow, you prune it back, and who knows, 5 years from now, you might be bigger and better than you've ever been. We don't know that. But I want to talk. You said Robert Hight doesn't talk smack, which is not true. After his semifinal victory, he goes on TV, and I don't know if you saw it. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. He says, when I win, the first win for Chevrolet and Funny Car. Now, it didn't work out, and he put himself out there a little bit, which, that takes guts. Now, it was against you, a teammate. It was a win for Chevrolet no matter what, but I loved that. The fact that Robert felt comfortable talking a little smack with you, having a little fun, and you made him pay on it. You went out there and beat him. And
that's Robert Hight's style.
It was fun.
He would take it if he was on a sinking boat on the Titanic. He would just say, I'm going to win. That's how he thinks. And I'll be honest, I said it. Robert right now is my best driver. He's my best lever. He's better than me. I have to go in there deep. When he's dead shallow, just to equal him or Hagen, okay? It gives me a little bit of a balance. And sometimes all that stuff, you know, it doesn't really help you, but it helps me get my energy up. That's how I fight the fight. I won more championships by a half a foot, and that's because I roll 6 inches or whatever you roll in the lights. And it's just the way that I'm old school. It's the way I do it. But he's motivated to win. He never believes, no matter who he's racing, if they're outrunning him, that he can't win on that day. And he believed he could win for Chevy. You know, it's been 10 years since Chevrolet has had a win, over 10 years, in the funny car ranks and in HRA. Their pro stock guys are killing them. But I'm excited. Auto Club is my strongest partner, and they're all my new partners are growing with me. Peak Antifreeze is on board. They were calling. Emmerich was calling, all excited that we got a win. Wish it could have been in the Peak car, but it doesn't matter. He's on my car. He's on all my race cars. So what we're doing is we fight the fight as a team, and I've got to, you know, people after years, sometimes they've done all they can do, and they don't need to be here. I'm under a five-year contract. I've got to build for the next 25 years. I won't be driving in 25 years, but I'll be driving for the next five, maybe beyond that if I'm any good. But I've got to build young teams, young crew chiefs, and I've got a team that averages anywhere from 18 – my average is 18 to probably 32, and I've got a few over in 40 and a couple that's maybe one in their 50s. Well, 50 is still young. You understand? Unless you're a driver like me, you can be 100. Okay, enough of that.
Sixth in the points. It's your 142nd career victory. You're repopulating the pit area out there with young crew members, which is very, very important. obviously. But I got to ask you. I got you on. I got to ask you. I know you can't tell me. This is one of those things, Joe, I know you, and you know I can't tell you. I know you can't tell me. But can you give us a framework of an idea of what may or may not be happening with Britney's sponsor? I know you're working on it. Is it, has it evolved beyond that? Is it still moving forward, what we talked about a while back?
Yes, it is, and this is a deal that I really can't talk about because if it doesn't work, I just embarrass them. I embarrass myself, and this is kind of a transition that's going down with federal, and I should know here any day. I talked to them every day. I got off the phone with them a while ago. They were congratulating us. They're excited about going with us on all our teams because they'll be on every team. But they will be the major on that, and I think we're going to get it done. It's going to happen. And if it doesn't, we all tried our best. And but we're looking, every day we're chasing money.
Well, exactly. And again, I don't want to ever put you in a situation where you say something that kills a deal, but we want to, obviously, we want to talk to you when it happens, and we want to know that there's good things on the horizon. It sure sounds like it. John, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. We always love hearing from you and appreciate you taking the time. Two, congratulations on the win. Great to see a Chevrolet funny car back. And those guys, I'm sure, are very, very happy. And you and Robert in the final. Shows it's going to be a battle this year. Thank you for taking the time.
Chevrolet in the final, I want to say the deal for Brittany we're going to have. And I'm not cheating on the budget over there. You know what I'm saying? I do what it takes because my kids and Robert Hyde are my priority. I'm building the team for the future. You know, football teams, you look at them, they don't all win forever, okay? The New York Yankees, they all go into spells with transitions of financial and financial with help that they lose or people just getting older. And right now, I'm in a rebuild, and I'm really excited to be with these kids because these kids, they feed me their energy, and I'm John Forrest is alive and well, and my daughters, Brittany and Courtney, I couldn't be more proud. Courtney just ran 405 out here. I'm getting my times all screwed up. I'm so wound up. Her old hot rod's flying. Yeah, 405. And in that Traxxas Chevrolet. Chevrolet's back. Lucas is back. Pete, naturally, Traxxas Auto Club, thank you. And Chevrolet, I drive your mom and dad Chevrolet from now on.
So
okay.
You're not trying to replace Alan Reinhart with those times, are you?
No. No.
John, thanks for calling in. Congratulations.
Bye-bye.
John Force with us here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. And it's great to see. It's great to hear. John is kind of pruned back the tree, and I have a feeling it's going to flourish, making final round with both funny cars, Robert Height, John Force. I thought it was very cool that Robert was very positive he was going to win. John goes out there, gets it done, and it's going to be a battle all season long. The John Force cars have showed up to play. Very, very cool. We still got a lot to come. We've got Erica Ender Stevens coming up on the show. We have got Richie Crampton coming up on the show. Bobby Bennett from Competition Plus going to stop by real quick. And we got Jake Metternich going to talk about his junior dragster victory, all coming up on WFO Radio. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School and the Dragster Adventure. Get out the envelope. You're saying to yourself, what envelope if you're a first-time listener? But everybody else knows that we've all got our envelope that we're saving somewhere in a drawer, and we're putting a couple of bucks into it every week, saving up for the Dragster Adventure. It is absolutely the coolest thing you're going to do in the racing world because Frank Hawley and Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School has created a program where you drive a dragster. That's right, you drive a dragster. It's not a ride-along. You're not with some professional driver. You're driving. 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. You can reach 130 miles per hour in the quarter mile. You can even do side-by-side racing. It's great for a corporate outing or for your sales team or to reward great clients or for a bachelor party, a group of guys getting together, going to do something special that you'll remember for a lifetime. But it all starts out with the envelope. Look, I know it's disposable funds these days are hard to come by. So what we do each week is we just mention this envelope, and hopefully that triggers in your mind, take a $5 bill or a $10 bill or a $20 bill and stuff it in the envelope, and at some point you'll have enough to go on the Dragster Adventure. Go to their website, frankhawley.com, to find out more information. They've got a full schedule. They're going around the country. They're bringing the school with them, and they're at some point coming somewhere near you. Give them a call, 866 480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. I heard it on WFO Radio. They'll break it up into four easy payments if you do it by phone. That's 866-480-7223 for Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School and the Dragster Adventure. Richie Crampton up next, then Erica Ender-Stevens later on in the show. Stick around on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts, legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the streets. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Every week we get first-time listeners, especially on these winners' editions. No doubt about it, to hear their favorite driver winning races. Maybe it's a new favorite driver that they just got on board with, and this guy is certainly a great pick for you young drag racing fans. Joining us now, Richie Crampton. Richie, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How about yourself?
I am very well. Are you kidding me? I get to talk to you. I get to talk to John Force. The WFO audience is happy. Everything is great. How's the Wally doing?
Oh, very good, man. Yeah, it's definitely going to have a pretty special spot on my mantle to go with my other two. That was a pretty neat weekend.
I love the idea of, you know, we talked to John, 142 career wins, Richie Crampton, 3. Just showing the different ends of the spectrum. Maybe someday you'll have 142, but the point is that you're the new era in drag racing. Young fans who don't want to root for the same people their parents did, they could pick a guy like you and be on the outset of a strong career.
Well, I'd love to think so. You know, far out. What John Force has done over his career has just been amazing. But, you know, to share the podium with him yesterday in Las Vegas was pretty special for me. Obviously, he's a Lucas Oil teammate of ours now, so that adds something special to it as well. But you can only strive to be someone like John Force on and off the racetrack. That guy is just an amazing person and it's amazing what he's accomplished.
Great to see him pointed in the right direction with Lucas Oil on board. Great to see you, though, also, because a lot of people, this team and Morgan going off to learn the family business, you coming in, and you've really had a strong start, winning the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals last year. And the question is always, will they get better? Will they stay the same, or will they get worse? This win is a big argument for getting better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the first five events of this 2015 Mellow Yellow Series, we've had a good car. You know, we're one of very few pro race cars that have not lost the first round yet this far into the season. So for us to go rounds at every single event, technically what I would call the final round at the four-wide race in Charlotte, we were part of that. And then to bring home a win as well, I think that shows just the potential of Aaron Brooks and this Lucas Oil team. You know, they're doing a great job. They're making it easy for me, and I'm just trying to hold up my end of the bargain. But really, bottom line is I'm just extremely lucky to drive great equipment for a great team that Morgan has hand-selected and put together over the years. And we definitely want to try and contend for a championship, which kind of seems funny to me talking about stuff like that, being just starting my second year in the sport, but the caliber of the team I drive for deserve to contend for a championship, and of course all the people on the side of the race car deserve it as well. So looking forward to some more wins this year, and you know, we'll get to run for that $100,000 that Traxxas puts up at the U.S. Nationals in the shootout, so that's pretty exciting also.
A huge, huge number, and extra entertainment for all the drag racing fans out there. I like your attitude, you know, as the Auto Club Road to the Future Award winner, of course, winning the U.S. Nationals, some great accolades coming your way earlier in your career, but it seems that you, as a driver, are advanced mentally beyond the time experience that you have. Why do you think that is, Richie? Is it because you've spent so much time working on the cars or the people you've been around? But even just talking to you, like, my natural question of a second-year driver would be, do you feel like you're still learning things every run, and how many runs have you made, and how far along are you in your learning curve? But, you know, I don't even feel like asking you that, because it just seems obvious that you're advanced. This guy's won the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. He won to the Road to the Future Award. How is that? Where are you? Are you the KG veteran yet?
Absolutely not. No, I'm by no means a veteran. I am extremely comfortable driving the race car, but, you know, I'm going to continue to be learning for quite some time. I think definitely being around Top Fuel cars for so long, and specifically working on this particular race car and team that I now drive for, has just helped my comfort level right out the gate. I felt right at home. I've also had some great tutoring from Morgan, of course, my mentor and predecessor, and still my boss and one of my good friends. So I've had all the tools to learn quickly and you know, try and succeed. But I'm definitely by no means a veteran. I still need to pick up my game on the starting line, and I'm realistic. You know, I know that you can't contend for a championship unless you can go out there and be 30s and 40s on the tree and try and compete with your Antron Browns and Langdons and Schumachers that can do that week in and week out. So that's definitely my main focus, is working on that, which seems like such a simple thing to fix, but it's definitely a mental game, you know, getting those reaction times and dealing with the pressure of who you're lined up against, because a lot of the times I'm still in awe that I get to race against these people that were my heroes that I grew up watching on TV and reading about in National Dragster. You know, for me, I just beat Larry Dixon in a Top Fuel final in Las Vegas. I'm a kid from the other side of the world, so there's a lot of you know, a lot of thoughts going through my mind sometimes when I get to line up against them guys, and I still need to get over that and continue to learn and grow, and hopefully if I can do that, we'll be sitting pretty at the end of the year, because I know I have the team to do it.
Let's get into you round by round. I do have a question about reaction time I want to ask you. Don't let me forget that. But first round, going up against Bill Miller's car, Troy Buff, they're local out of that area, but you laid down a nice 382-1. And the second round, an even tougher matchup against the Torrance team, you were able to dispatch them. Torrance was off the line first by a little bit. But then in the semis, I want to key in on this one because this is, you mentioned Larry Dixon, and I always think, when I think of Larry Dixon, I think of the beer wagon matchups when it was the Miller Lite car for the Snake going up against Kenny and Brandon Bernstein in the Budweiser car, and how many people were into that? You guys had like your oil version of that in the semifinals going up against J.R. Todd. Tell me about preparing for that, and is that something that this is your oil sponsor nemesis? Is that something you even consider while prepping for the run?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's specific rivalries that aren't for any other reason but what's written on the side of the car. You know, obviously my main focus is to do well for Lucas Oil because they've given me so much and they deserve to win. So, you know, JR also, I've raced him quite a few times over the years and, you know, he's won some and I've won some, but he's a really tough competitor. We know how good he can be on race day and particularly how good his car was. I mean, he was a number one qualifier at the event, and we knew we had to be on our game to beat them. So, you know, there's a healthy rivalry there, but at some point in time, you kind of got to not worry about that stuff and just try and run your own race in your own lane, because if you worry about anything else but yourself, you're probably going to slow yourself down. So, you know, it was good to get a win on JR. I think, you know, I got off the starting line just a little quicker than him, which was, you know, a small victory for me. But, you know, just once again, we were lucky that we had a good race car and, you know, we were able to fend him off during that round. So it was, yeah, it definitely wasn't an easy side of the ladder. I mean, both sides of the ladder are tough, and that's just goes to show how the Mellow Yellow Series is anymore. It's, there's no easy rounds on race day, and you also need a little bit of luck, which we had. So, you know, it's kind of how you want a race day to go for you.
Final round against Larry Dixon, and you said it. Larry, of course, a fan favorite, a driver that's been around for a long time doing it, three-time world champion, but also just went through that horrific, nightmarish crash in Gainesville, bounces back, and now in a final round so rapidly. So it all working out for Larry, but tell me about getting ready for the final round. And you mentioned being in awe of another driver. How do you put it out of your mind that this is what you've always wanted to do and you're doing it, and not only are you doing it, but these people that you once looked up to and loved in a way that the sports fan loves the sports icon are now trying to defeat you, Richie, and they're trying to take away what you want. It's exactly the opposite. Now they want what you want, and you have to beat them on the track. What is that thought process like?
It's a strange dynamic. You know, all them points you brought up are pretty accurate. You know, it's hard to shut out all that other stuff, but that's something that Morgan's kind of helped me work on and just think about other things, basically, if I get into that position. But, you know, I had 100% confidence going into that final round because Aaron Brooks and my team had given me a race car that was pretty much a bracket car all weekend long, which it was kind of reminiscent of Indy when we just kept running high 370s back-to-back-to-back to win the event. So, you know, I was extremely confident. That goes a long way. You know, we had lane choice going into the final round, which it gives you a little boost, but that was a two-lane racetrack, so it didn't really matter anyway. But, yeah, you know, as you said, Larry's been through a lot, and so is Mike Guger and Joe Bile, and the entire team over there at BDVR have been through a lot in the last month, and I can see why they would have been a sentimental favorite to get that win. I mean, to come back from a big wreck and then to go rounds fairly soon after putting a brand new race car together and try and win an event was, you know, that would have been a one for the storybook for sure if Larry could have pulled that off. But, and it goes to when I beat Doug Coletta at my first race in Englishtown last year. At the time, I didn't realize, you know, how much the Englishtown racetrack means to the Coletta family after losing Scott there. So, once again, you know, he on paper was the sentimental favorite to win that event in Englishtown, but I was able to do it. So I kind of feel like I picked their pocket a little bit on them occasions. But you know, that's what we need to do to win rounds and contend for a championship.
Yeah, I can't imagine that if you allow thoughts like that to enter your mind, what it means to your opponent and why they need it and a deep emotional reasoning, that it would be tough to do your job. Let me ask you my reaction time question, then I want to talk to you about Aaron. Reaction time. What is the limiting factor for a guy like you? Is it comfort and relaxation? Is it the car and the way the car performs? And ultimately, is there and where is the limit? 50s, 40s, 30s. Is there a physical limit that your eyes and your nerves and your leg are hardwired that you can't get past? And maybe you haven't reached that yet, but is that out there? I know you're involved with the chassis and you're involved with the tuning and you're involved with many aspects of these cars. I'd love for you to give me your best insight into how that works and where's the bar, where's the limiting factor, the sound barrier, so to speak, that can't be broken with reaction time.
Well, you know, that's kind of a moving target because, as we all know, a lot of it matters on where you stage the race car in those beams. You know, every round except the final round, and particularly in qualifying, you want to be extremely shallow so you get that maximum ET slip out of your run. So I believe that, you know, mid to high 30s on the tree, being shallow, honestly shallow into the staging beams is probably about as good as you can get a top fuel car to react. I got to believe anything much better than that is, you know, kind of taking a stab at it. But, you know, for me, the biggest limiting factor is just thinking about it too much and trying too hard. A lot of my best reaction time, which have been in the 30s and 40s and 50s, have come during test sessions where you're not worried about racing the competitor. You're just out there doing it. And that sounds cliche, but you just got to go out there and do it. And I think having a good state of mind and good confidence and just not a care in the world makes you react quicker. So, you know, we saw some fantastic reaction times at the four wide in Charlotte. I was 24 on the tree in the first round. Although everyone's reaction time seemed to be a little generous at that event. I think Dave Connolly was 0.17, and there was some stuff like that showing up. So I'm not exactly sure what was up with the beams in Charlotte, but I think on 99% of the racetracks we go to, if you can be in the high 30s, like a 37 or a 38, that tells me that you know you're on your game. That's about the limit that I think you can truly shoot for.
Sitting fifth in the points, 36 out of the lead after five races. So you got five drivers within two rounds after five races. That's very impressive what's going on in Top Fuel. It's nearly as close in Funny Car, where they've had five different winners. Let me ask you about Aaron. Obviously, he's a very serious guy when he's on the job. I've gotten the opportunity to speak with him a few times, even on the show, about the car. And clearly, when he opens up, he's got a whole world of different things going on. But what I found interesting is you go down the track, the wind light comes on. He was not happy. He was not like, yeah, we won. He was like, it didn't run the way it was supposed to run. It went a 90. That's not what's supposed to happen. And you could see that he was disappointed, even though you had won. What do you think about that level of competitiveness or internal reflection that a guy like Aaron Brooks, even when the win light is glowing and you're the event winner for the third time, he's critiquing himself so hard at that moment that he, at the moment, was unable to enjoy it. And then tell me how he warmed up later once the cameras were off. Clearly, I know he was happy that he won at a later point. We just didn't see it at that point.
Yeah, well, you know, the guy's a perfectionist, and he is one of the most intelligent people I've ever met in the sport or, you know, in my life. So obviously he wants to do right every time. He wants he wants the race car to run down there and be low of every session, which, you know, we still were low of every session, but a 390 in the final at a mellow yellow event like that could have easily been ticked off if someone else would have ran down there on all eight. So, I can see where he comes from. Like, he wants every run to be perfect, but you know, he did such a good job all weekend long, and then it just finally did that in the final round, which was kind of unusual. But I could see his disappointment when I watched the replay. But it's kind of funny to think that you can still win and be concerned about little things like that. But after the fact, once we got the race car back for the winner's circle pictures, and I finally got to, you know, thank him and talk to him about it and everything, he was all smiles, and you know, he came over and looked at the race car. We definitely we had some cylinders out, so I pinched some rings, and it was blowing some oil out the puke tank and all the good stuff. So he's like, well, it wasn't pretty, but we got it, so that's all that counts. And he'll just try harder next time, and he learns from every run. So I think we'll have a fantastic package for the fall Vegas race when it's really going down to the wire. But more importantly, it's going to be probably pretty warm in Houston, which is coming up as our next event. And I think this hot track tune-up he has at a racetrack like Houston, where the air is not quite as thin as it was in Las Vegas, we should be looking pretty good. So just extremely lucky to have him as a crew chief in my early stages of my career like this.
Now, this team is definitely for real. Going back to last year, Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, then what Morgan was able to do out there in Brainerd, and just some of the successes along the way, the personnel are in place. It's going to be great to watch you guys battle it out with the rest of the teams out there. And good for the sport, too. It can't be all DSR. It can't be all Coletta. There need to be multiple teams out there all battling, and it's great that you're doing it. All right, final question, Richie. I want your opinion on this. You know, drag racing, the ever-growing international sport. We're seeing it in the alcohol classes with Yanni Lindbergh, the Lindbergh brothers, Leanders, and Steve Harker. Those guys all having great success coming out of the European realm. You coming out, you and many others, Harker from Australia, of course, by way of Augusta, Georgia. We are getting a lot of listenership from those areas as well. In fact, some of our WFO radio listeners sent us some kangaroos next 25 kilometers stickers. You know, I guess they're roadside sign stickers, replicas, which is kind of cool. How do you think we here at WFO Radio, this podcast, this show, what can we do to grow our listener base in these areas that we're talking about, those, especially in Australia, where you're from? How do we get to those people? What do you think?
Well, you know, there's probably a time and place where you may already do this, but you might be able to get some people on your show after some Australian events or European FIA events or stuff like that. I think that would probably be a great thing for exposure to those great Australian and European racers that don't get a huge amount of coverage over here in the States unless they come over here and compete, like Lindbergh and myself and Harker. But I know I can speak for the Australian drag racing fan base. They love NHRA Championship drag racing, and I'm sure there's quite a few going to be listening to this show that we're doing right now. But I think just continuing to, you know, help acknowledge the fact that, I live in Indianapolis, but I'm from Australia, and you know, the fact that you're having me on the show and talking about it, that does wonders as well. So there's a lot of great racing, and there's a lot of great race car drivers, and there's a lot of great mechanics and engineer-type people that make cars go fast all over the world. So hopefully we'll see some more of it, and this is the All-American NHRA Championship Drag Racing Series, but it's great that we can come over here and just like the Rapisodas do and get to compete in what such a fantastic series and sport that the U.S. has created.
I love it, too. We're going to call it the Crampton Initiative for the Australian fans, and it's basically going to be when Richie Crampton wins races, we gain listeners in Australia. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, that's got a kind of a ring to it. So I think we'll continue to work on that, Joe. Hopefully there'll be a few more wins, and it'll really pay dividends.
I have a feeling there will. And you mentioned Houston. That's my next race out as an announcer, so I will see you down there. Very much looking forward to it. Richie, congratulations. Thanks for coming on WFO Radio. Give me the insight regarding reaction time and what's going on. I know you have a wealth of knowledge that we couldn't possibly delve into in a 20-minute interview. But each time we speak, I love to try to get in there. I know you know about chassis. I know you have a wealth of experience. And I also know that most of our listeners, myself included, we can only get so much at one time, and that there's a lot that I'm sure is very interesting and exciting. Just the fact that you guys are building your own chassis and what goes into that and what makes one different or better than the other. These are all things at some point in the future I'd like to explore with you next time you come back. But for this interview, I greatly appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. Congratulations, and enjoy your win.
All right. Thank you, Joe. It was a pleasure as always, and I look forward to seeing you in Houston.
Thanks, Richie. Richie Crampton with us here on WFO Radio, driver for Morgan Lucas Racing, Lucas Oil, and a huge victory for those guys. And I always love speaking with Richie. I do hope we can build our audience down under, not just in Australia. Of course, we do have a pretty strong audience down there. I'm holding my Kangaroos Next 25 Kilometers sticker. Maybe I'll meerkat or periscope that one out at some point. You know, on our Ignition show, we've been doing that a lot lately. The meerkat or periscope live streaming, which is totally changing the social media world, folks. You are experiencing it. If you're not on the cutting edge, and I know a lot of people aren't up on it, and in fact, I think that we still got time to grow and everything, but this is the coolest thing going on. The meerkat and the periscope. Periscope is the big one, the VHS version of it. Meerkat is a little smaller and understated, but has better quality. But the bottom line is, we'll meerkat the Ignition show. And anyone can check it out around the world, just like our show here. And we want listeners who are drag racing fans from around the globe, wherever they happen to be, to know that they can check in each week and feel like they're part of this community, and that we're going to reach out to them, and we're going to bust chops with them, and we're going to have fun with them, and include us, and we'll include you, because this is the drag racing community. This is a car guy community. This is the WFO universe, where who knows what it is we're going to be talking about. And this show is a perfect example, because next we've got Erica Enders-Stevens. We're going to talk about the double-double, not the In-N-Out Burger double-double, the K&N Horsepower Challenge SummitRacing.com back-to-back victories in back-to-back years double-double. We'll see what Erica has to say. She wasn't feeling too well. Talk about rising to the occasion. We'll speak with Erica Enders-Stevens on this show. And we've also got Jake Metternich. He is a junior dragster racer who, unbeknownst to us, put a WFO radio sticker on his car and tweeted out a picture. It was actually his uncle. Said, hey, we're going to the track. And next thing you know, they win. And we talked to the winners on this show. This kid's got our sticker. He's winning races. He's in the winner's circle. He's on the show. And it's going to be kind of cool because he talks about Erica as an inspiration. And we're going to play the audio for Erica. This young driver looking up to her. She just won a double. And she's going to hear all about it. I think it's great. Then at the tail end, the very tail end, Bobby Bennett from Competition Plus is coming on. And he has got a very intense, serious subject that he is attacking on CompetitionPlus.com. A story that everybody should read and decide for themselves what they think regarding John Medlin and Eric Medlin. And I'm not going to go any further into it other than Bobby is going to talk about it. You are not going to want to miss it. It is the whole reason we have WFO Radio and why the listeners love each show. So we got a lot to look forward to. And right now it's time to talk about Marvin Rodak. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. You hear about our sponsors, and you can hear Marvin in our short clip section. He was on WFO Ignition a few weeks back, and we like to highlight our sponsors, of course. And I know you're thinking to yourself, well, every show has got sponsors. Yes, that is true. That's why it's free for you. That's why we're able to continue to do it. And we really need and greatly appreciate when you support our sponsors, whether it be the General Counsel Club or saving up for the Dragster Adventure or getting a little coffee or hot sauce in the mail. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com and check it out. Look, winter is over, baby. It's time to grill. The summer is coming. You're going to be out there on the backyard. You're going to be grilling it up. Steaks, burgers, bacon, dogs. It's all going to be awesome. But you know what would make it a little bit better is some RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Now, Marvin Rodak, he does barbecue spice rubs. He does hot sauces. They do barbecue wood, smoking wood. There's a whole bunch of great stuff on the website. But, of course, coffee is a big part of it, too. Over 40 single original coffees to choose from. that represent the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. And all the coffee is roasted fresh per order. They have seasonal, limited edition, and exotic coffees. Go to the website, rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com. Check it out. But Marvin really likes when you call him. 817-924-6821. They've been doing it since 1976. Hey, Marvin, they even sell grills. Hey, Marvin, set me up with something. This is what I'm going to eat with it. This is what I want to make. I want to make this pork chop. What can you recommend? He's there for you. And he's a big drag racing fan and WFO radio supporter. We're building our community of sponsors, of listeners, of drivers, of people. We're building the WFO radio community. And soon we will take over the world. But until then, we're going to have some coffee. 817-924-6821. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Another WFO Radio NHRA Nitro is rolling along, and if you're listening on iHeartRadio or the free WFO Radio application or Stitcher or TuneIn, or you're sitting there in front of your old-school Commodore 64 computer listening, we welcome you, and certainly we hope that you've been here each of these weeks. Now, if you weren't, let me give you a little flashback to last week. Last week, we had Erica Enders-Stevens on before the K&N Horsepower Challenge and SummitRacing.com Nationals to relive last year's incredible double-up achievement. And at the conclusion of the interview, Erica said this.
Thanks. It was fun to relive the memories, and hopefully we We can talk next week when we get it done again.
Well, yeah, exactly. Let's mark it down. But I got to tell you, though, Larry Morgan has already booked it. So what are you going to do about that?
Well, we'll just battle it out, I guess.
That's right. Battle it out. We got another guy out there.
You got to believe. If you don't believe it, there's no point in even going to the starting line.
She believed. She battled. She won. She joins us now. Erica Ender Stevens is back. Erica, welcome back. Congratulations.
Thank you, Joe. It was a fun weekend.
I can imagine. The double. That's amazing. So you might as well have been at In-N-Out Burger getting a double-double. Back-to-back years, you win them both. How awesome is that?
It's pretty incredible. I mean, it's actually pretty surreal for me. I mean, of course we believed it and we worked hard for it, but it's just, I mean, winning is so, so challenging and so hard to get done. And to be able to win on Saturday in the K&N Challenge and then battle through the field again on Sunday to score the double up is just crazy. Says a lot about my team, and we just had a great weekend.
I like when drivers win consistently because we can dig deeper. You were on just last week, and you really made a big point about your test session following Charlotte, and that the fuel was a challenge and the tires were a challenge, and we talked deeply about the learning curves when there's new stimulus. Whatever it is, something changes and your championship combination gets thrown askew, but you were really confident a week ago that you had gotten it figured out. Clearly, the performance shows you had it figured out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said last week, my guys just dug their heels in and worked really hard on figuring out this new tire and how to make it work with our race car. And it's a challenge. I mean, obviously it took us four races and a test session to acquire the data that we needed to get it done. So, you know, prior to our test in Charlotte, we were using qualifying runs as test sessions because we hadn't had the time or the funding to get out there and test like a lot of the other teams. So, you know, we got it done in Charlotte, and I guess that's all that matters. But just hearing the confidence back in Rick and Ricky Jones's voices and, you know, Mark Ingersoll as well gave me a little pep in my step because I kind of feed off of them because they really, really know what's going on, and I just know, you know, a little bit and drive the race car the best that I can. So their confidence gave me confidence, and in turn, you know, we were able to get it done. But that test session in Charlotte was crucial to what we just accomplished in Las Vegas.
Just absolutely huge. As big as it gets in pro stock, winning back-to-back races, the $50,000 from K&N, a fan wins a truck, which you've got a fan for life, I'm sure. But you were under the weather, though. Tell me about when you started. We talked to you on last week, the start of last week, and you sounded pretty good. What happened? You got sick, you had a pretty serious bug, and you were able to fight through it. When did you start to feel poorly?
Well, I felt okay on Friday. I mean, every time we go to Vegas, you've been there, you know how dry it is there, and it's just the challenge to stay hydrated. And, you know, I woke up Saturday morning just feeling like crap. I had a sore throat. I had a fever. I was achy. So, I mean, my guys in Phoenix and Gainesville had all had the flu and gotten over it and passed it on to the rest of the team. So I was just sure that it was my turn for the flu. And you know, battled through Saturday, probably feeling about 50%, but Sunday, I mean, I was down for the count. I got up in the morning, met the guys downstairs, and, you know, got to the track. I had a high fever. I had the track doctor come over, and he said my heart rate was up, my blood pressure was really high because I was dehydrated, and he thought that I had a flu. So I went over there, and they gave me an IV in the morning, which helped me to feel a little bit better. And you know, we just had to battle it out on Sunday. And, you know, I kind of joked with the ESPN guys that if we had four rounds of racing, you know, I was only going to have to really concentrate and work for 25 or 26 seconds, you know, going up and down the racetrack. But it's a challenge to stay focused when you're under the weather. And after our first and second round win, I had the doctor come back over. I got another IV and just kind of was my lifeline for the day, staying hydrated. And I got back yesterday and to Oklahoma and went to the doctor and had strep throat and high fever and all that fun stuff. So it was a heck of a crazy weekend. But, you know, like you and I talked earlier, it's weird that when you're sick, you have to really focused on focusing, if that makes sense. And I was able to do an okay job, and my guys really held me up. So I'm appreciative of that.
It just occurred to me that Larry Morgan, who we talked about in a joking way in that clip we just heard, was also sick after the four wide. My immediate thoughts are that's back-to-back winners who are fighting some sort of illness. And then my next thought is, I wonder if it was the same illness.
I don't know. Maybe they pass it around the racetrack, but it seems every time I go to Vegas, when I get home, I mean, I'm used to like 98% humidity, and we had 5% in Vegas with 7 grains of water in the air, so it was extremely, extremely dry out there, and that, you know, allows you to get an infection easier. That's what the doctor said anyway, I don't know, whatever, but it is what it is. You know, everybody gets sick, and, you know, we just don't get sick days when you're a race car driver or when you're an athlete. So you just got to man up and get it done.
Get it done, and you got it done. Let's talk about the K&N Horsepower Challenge. You and Vincent coming to the starting line for the final round, and I'm wondering what you're thinking. We have often spoken about the mind of the athlete and how it would be great if you could just put out of your mind all the distractions, like, boy, I won this race a year ago, and then I went on to win the event and the championship, and boy, that $50,000 would be really helpful. We could use the funding. I need it. We need the money. That's a $50,000 race. We make a big deal about people pulling to the starting line for $50 or $100 or $1,000. That was a $50,000. It was really a $40,000 race, but still, that is a huge additional incentive. Did that thought enter your mind, or were you successfully able to put it out of your mind?
You know, yeah, of course it entered my mind that we need the funding, and Richard, my team owner, always jokes with me that he needs a check, so let's go win this deal. And so there is that little bit of added pressure, because I know that it'll help us continue to race this year while we search for additional sponsorship. But, I mean, a long time ago, before I got my first Pro Stock win, a couple of drivers told me, you got to learn how to win. And I didn't really understand that, because I had won at every other level in the sport except the Pro Stock level. So, but when I did finally get it done, like, it just started to make more sense. And every race following that, like, you have to be able to experience it and learn from it and feed off of the pressure instead of succumb to it. And that, I guess that's kind of the mindset I had going up there. Like, I didn't feel well. We were rushed. We were late. Thankfully, Vincent and his crew were courteous enough to wait for us, because they didn't have to. And, you know, we had a good, consistent race car. We weren't on top of the world like we were last year as far as performance was concerned, but we're just, again, struggling with this tire, getting after it and being aggressive with it. So we'll get to that point where we're back on top, but we just really, really had to fight for it. So my mindset was to just go up there and stay focused and not allow that outside pressure and being rushed, because as a driver, you know, it really sucks to be rushed. You're, like, trying to put all your gear on and not forget any of your procedures, and just stay focused on the task at hand. And, you know, it sounds crazy, but when you fire that race car, everything goes away. Like, all the outside distractions, your heart rate slows down, your mindset transfers to what you have to do, and it's just it's a pretty cool feeling. So I was proud of my team for standing behind. I mean, they always do, but they really helped me when I was feeling bad and just pumped me up when I needed it, and we got it done. It was so exciting.
And then you win the K&N Horsepower Challenge, which is just a huge event. And it's a very different feeling that you've already won, but you haven't raced yet, in that you've got this $50,000 bonus, you got this race fan, K&N fan, who is super happy, and everyone is celebrating, and you're in Vegas, except tomorrow's race day, and then you go back and do it again. It's very interesting how it seems that the people who are successful on a given weekend are able to duplicate it, because you're able to march through the field. And some very tough races, a 001 reaction time against Greg Anderson. You know, he outran you by 2/1000ths, but your whole shot made the big difference. And then you got to run Vincent in the final round, mm-hmm. just like that. Something weird about that, or is it random coincidence?
I don't know. It's pretty cool, actually. I remember back in 2012, I don't know, whenever AJ won, I lost to him in the finals of the challenge, and I lost to him in the finals of the race at Vegas. And so I've been there before as well as Vincent, but Vincent's an extremely talented driver, and I knew I was going to have to step up to the plate. He's always very good on the starting line, but, you know, in the race, that ground against Greg Anderson was a make it or break it. I mean, I guess they all are, but that was a very crucial round because he was the one car on Sunday that was faster than us. And in the first and second rounds of eliminations, he had, I think he was like 15 and 22 on the tree. So I knew that there was no room for error for us. So I set up to be, you know, like 005 to 10 on the tree with my clutch pedal. And I went up there and I was a little bit earlier than that, thankfully on the right side of the green light. But, I knew I had to be up on the wheel for him, and I really wanted to beat him. Like, I want to beat everybody, but that round was extremely crucial. So getting that done was very exciting for our team. And then going to battle out Vincent again, I knew he really didn't want to lose to me twice in one weekend. So stepped to the plate again, and, our car actually slowed up a little bit in the finals, but, thankfully I was good enough on the tree to get it done. So, my guys are just awesome. I can't say enough about them. I know everybody's probably tired of hearing the interviews. They start to sound the same, but if they could be in my shoes for 1 week and understand how important, a solid team is and how important men with such great character and hard work and ethics and determination. I mean, these guys are just amazing. So I feel very blessed to have them.
John Force won 142 times in his career. He won nearly every race in the 1990s. And all that added up to him was he's the most beloved drag racer on the planet. So you keep winning. I think people like hearing you on a weekly basis or as often as possible, because we can kind of delve even deeper. Like, for instance, you know, the stat guy keeps stats. And the stats in drag racing, people need to realize it's almost like baseball. There's a lot of different stats. I don't really get too into the stats because just compiling them is a lot of work and a lot of depth. I kind of notice trends. I'll give you a trend that I'm noticing. In crucial runs, like, you couldn't go up there. Most people realize, please give me your opinion. Most people realize that you can't plan for a 001 reaction time because it's too thou on the good side. You could easily be red. But in several crucial races that you have had, this race with the championship on the line last year, you're able to go 00. And it could easily go the other way, but it doesn't. What's up with that?
I guess the grace of God. I mean, I do my best to be very consistent with my staging and then my entire routine and getting in the car and just doing everything the same every time, which, you know, I really pride myself on my driving, but it's because of the visualization and the procedures that I go through, and my dad's really helped me with the mental side of the game. So, I mean, as a bracket racer, I mean, you know, delay box racing, you can just plug numbers in a computer. Well, we're no electronics, you know, in pro stock as far as leave is concerned. And when I can work with my clutch pedal, and my crew chiefs, Rick and Ricky Jones, really help me. Ricky, being a driver, you know, has experimented with it in his cars as well. So There's a bell crank in there, and there's a fork, parts of the clutch and how they connect to the bell housing and whatnot. And you can move, you can make the pedal stiffer, softer, and that is my delay box in a sense. So, I mean, a lot of drivers never touch their clutch pedal, and I'm just one of them that works with it. So, I sped it up against Greg, and, you know, it's a gamble. I mean, he very well could beat us. He's good on the tree. If he was 15 again, I mean, and I'm 15, we lose. So you just have to gamble. And it's, you know, you don't want to go red, but you sometimes have to get as close as possible. And I landed on the good side of it, but I've been on the bad side of it a lot too. So it's just one of those deals that when it's your day, it's your day.
And knowing your body and yourself and how you react and the more runs, like, I like to think about, I've talked to you in the past, not that it's equivalent in any way, but anytime you do the bracket racing thing on a regular basis, every week, you get to know yourself, and in intense situations, like Erica in a really intense situation, and you probably know this number, I'm just going to guess, might be, if everything goes normal, 8 thou quicker than regular Erica, and you can factor that in, and it's amazing because this 001 number has come up a lot.
Yeah, I factor in about, you're very close, you said 8,000. I factor in a hundredth, which is 10,000. So for being amped up, as long as I stage shallow, I always try to have my clutch foot in the same position. You know, there's a difference in just looking at the tree and really getting into the tree. So there are certain things that I can do to speed myself up and slow myself down. But, you know, Erica really wanting to win, like, big time, like the semis at the World Finals and then against Greg Anderson last weekend, I'm worth about a hundredth being amped up. So I account for that in all my math and my delay box.
It's funny that you say that because I said 8,000 and you said 10,000. And that's the difference between a 001 green and a 001 red.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you're right. It's crazy.
I'm red, and you're green. Now, we did something this past week that kind of interesting. You know, we got a lot of different listeners out there in the world and, you know, racers. And I like to think we have a growing base of young people that listen to WFO radio. And they want to hear the drivers and get to know you guys as best as they can during the week, of course. But also, I want our racing fans to race as well and understand they can go out to their NHRA member track and they can make time runs on Test and Tune, or they can start bracket racing and get involved, because it really is a participant sport as much as it is a spectator sport. Well, get this. This past week, I get a tweet. One of our WFO radio listeners has put a WFO sticker on the side of their, you know, son, or in this case turned out to be nephew's junior dragster. And, hey, we're going racing with WFO Radio on board. And so I thought, hey, that's pretty cool, and I retweeted it. I love anytime anyone sports the WFO sticker out there. Well, later that day, I get the tweet, hey, guess what? We won. And there's a picture from the winner's circle. So we invited, his name is Jake Metternich, to come on the show and participate in a winner's edition just like you and John Force and Richie Crampton. Because I thought to myself, man, if back when I was a young person racing, that would have been just the coolest thing on earth to be interviewed right in order with those people. Well, spoke with Jake yesterday, and he said something in the interview I wanted you to hear. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, when asked, and he's coming up, Jake is coming up in a few minutes following Pro Stock World Champion Erica Ender Stevens, when asked about his inspiration to race and get involved and what he wants to do in the future. This is Jake Metternich, junior dragster racer, 11 years old.
Well, my goal is to be a Pro Stock driver, kind of like Erica Ender. She encouraged me because she raced juniors, and I believe if I keep doing what I'm doing, I can go out and be like her.
What do you think about that? 11-year-old boy, junior dragster racer, wants to be like Erica Ender Stevens.
Man, that's so cool to hear. that's really surreal. That's neat because, I mean, I looked up to people like Shirley Muldowney and Shelley Anderson and Angel, and they were the girls that I looked up to and wanted to be like. So that's awesome to hear. I mean, I have always hoped that what I'm doing shows kids that they can chase their dreams too. I mean, I'm a perfect example of a normal kid through hard work and perseverance and surrounding myself with the right people that anything's possible. So I'm glad that he's on that track as well. I mean, I started off in juniors just like him, and that's awesome. That's way cool. Congratulations to him on getting it done in his junior dragster. And man, dream big, keep after it. Don't let people tell you no.
He had a 004 in the final round, by the way. Now, what I find it, how about it? What I find interesting, though, and this is, of course, I'm going to bring up, you know, something that could be perceived as negative, but it's just, it jumps out at me. This is a young boy, and so much is made about the diversity in the sport and the girls out there doing so well, and Erica, you know, you're a girl, and so that the young girls are all looking up to you, and the answer is no. No, young racers are looking up to you. And some are boys and some are girls, and they just like to see people that they like. And I think that just points out that a lot can be learned from the young people. They don't even think about that stuff. They just watch the racing and like who they like.
That's awesome to hear. I mean, gender honestly plays no role in our sport and what we do. I mean, it makes no difference. When you put your helmet on and you go to the starting line, you're just a racer. So, man, that's awesome. I feel really blessed. That's pretty cool to hear.
I thought so too.
That'll make your day.
Well, you know what? It's going to become some sort of new segment on the show. I really don't know. We're going to have to come up with a catchy name for it or something. But where we encourage the young people to go out there and win and get to the winner's circle and tweet us a picture with the WFO sticker on their car, and then they can come on the show and be on with the Mellow Yellow Series winners. Like, that's the general framework of the program we just created right now at this moment. But, you know, we'll have to have the audience name it or something. But I just thought it was cool that you and him both on at the same time. I think it is great. Erica, congratulations. The double-double. Now, did you go to In-N-Out Burger, or you weren't feeling so well? So I don't know.
Oh, you know what? Last year we went when we doubled up. Like, the first night when we won the challenge, Richard took us to a nice steak dinner. And the second night, we were just all so tired. He's like, hey, we doubled. Let's go have a double-double for our double-double. So we all ended up at In-N-Out Burger last year. But this year, we went back home and crashed out. We had dinner together, but we'll certainly make it a tradition from now on. Every time we go to Vegas, have double-doubles.
Double-double, baby. Now, your next race, home track. We got a week off and then down to Houston. And that's got to be kind of cool to roll in there as the double winner and all of those accolades. I'm sure you'll be feeling better. Richie will be out in the new Mopar, so we get that whole husband-wife rivalry thing going on, which is going to, you know, we're going to make a lot of fun out of that. But you got to be excited to have all your friends and family members around you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love racing at home, and we were able to get it done there last year at the Houston event, and you know, we'll certainly do our best to carry the momentum from our double in Vegas into Houston. So I'm very optimistic. I'm very excited. And, yeah, it'll be cool to have Richie out there racing. He'll be driving a team car for Alan Johnson. It'll be a Mopar. And he's very excited to get back out there. So and we need more Pro Stock cars. So the fields are a little slim right now. And it'll be fun. I mean, I love racing in front of a hometown crowd. The fans are just amazing. They treat me wonderfully, and you know, it's good to reconnect with people that I grew up junior drag racing at that track with, and you know, used to race Quick 32 and all the sportsman stuff out there as well. So it's cool to run into those folks, and then of course have all of my friends and family, and my team owner, he's from just 6 hours north of there, so it's a home track for him as well. So we'll have a slam-packed pit in Houston, and just be sure to have a lot of fun. I'll have actually have a new sponsor on the door for that event. It's Lupe Tortilla's Mexican restaurant, my favorite restaurant in the entire world. So they've stepped up and helped us out, and we'll be flying their colors at that event and have plenty of Mexican food in the pit as well. So it'll definitely be a fun weekend.
Awesome, and I will be there. That's my next race on the schedule as well, so you can expect to see me patrolling the top end, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. Erica, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. Back-to-back weeks, double victory. It is just awesome. I hope you feel better, of course, and I'll see you next week.
All right, Joe. Thanks so much.
There she goes, Erica Ender-Stevens with us here on WFO Radio. How about that? She goes 001 against Greg Anderson, 24 against Vincent, wins the race, doubles up, and now, you know, it's the championship. Can she double again? Everything's happening. It's like deja vu all over again. And Erica Ender-Stevens doubling up in Vegas. Now, we've got more to come. You heard young Jake Metternich on the show. His uncle, Eric, tweeted a picture. Hey, we put a WFO sticker on the junior dragster. And he goes out and wins. And that means he gets to come on the show. Now, does that mean for everybody else out there in the world, if you put a WFO Radio sticker on your race car and go to the winner's circle and win with the WFO Radio sticker, that you get to be on the show? If you're in a junior drag store or a young person, yes, is pretty much what it means. You got to get the WFO stickers, which are free. You just got to send a self-addressed stamp envelope to WFO Radio Stickers, P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. But we need a catchy name for this segment. It's like, you know, the next generation, or, you know, young people winning so they can get on the show, which kind of sounds like a very long catchy name. If you've listened to my shows long enough, you know that a lot of the best ideas happen spontaneously on the air. And this is kind of morphing and growing as it is right now. So when we come back, we're going to hear from Jake Metternich. He's 11 years old. You heard from Mellow Yellow Series Pro Stock Champion, K&N Horsepower Challenge double winner Erica Enders Stevens. You heard from 142-time winningest driver in NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Funny Car history, John Force. You heard from the Auto Club Road to the Future Award winner and reigning Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals winner, Richie Crampton. And now you're about to hear from Gateway Junior Dragster winner, Jake Metternich, who had the WFO radio sticker on the side of his car. And I can't wait to talk with him. We'll be back after this. But first, I want to tell you about a new sponsor on WFO Radio. We'd like to welcome the folks from YourVelocity.com. You've seen them on Larry Dixon's car. You hear Larry talking about it. It is a great resource for you businesses out there. Check it out, YourVelocity.com. And we thank them for coming on WFO Radio and recognizing that the WFO Radio audience, they are doers out there. They are not watchers. They are doers. And we'd like to say a big welcome to Nick and the folks at YourVelocity.com. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into it with Jake Metternich. Jake is going to tell us about his junior dragster career. And then after Jake, we're going to hear from Bobby Bennett. We're going to end off this show in a big, big way. You're going to have to hear it. You're going to love it. And you're going to want to rush to CompetitionPlus.com to read the story. But when we come back, Jake Metternich will join us on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
We have got the historic first female ever in pro stock to win the Mellow Yellow World Championship. Joins Angel and Shirley as the female champions in NHRA history. Here she is, Erica Enders Stevens.
After the race on Sunday, I got the chance to sign a poster, and they said, you know, write 2014 world champion. And I mean, that was a really cool moment, but it was minutes after we accomplished it. And last week I spent some time with Richard Freeman and sitting in the lobby of the hotel and just him saying, do you realize what we've accomplished? And we've only been together a year, and I feel really honored, but at the same time, I mean, it's, wow. I don't know what to say. I've struggled in my interview since then, like, putting it into words, because It's crazy. It's hard to fathom.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFOradio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
And finally, this week on WFO Radio, we've got something kind of cool. You know, we encourage our listeners to send a self-addressed stamped envelope to get some free WFO Radio stickers, P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. And so we're sending out stickers all the time, and some of them end up on the side of race cars. And some people actually take photos and tweet pictures back at us of the stickers on the race cars. Well, this past week, I get a social media communication on Twitter that our sticker, WFO Radio, would be riding on the side of a junior dragster. Next thing you know, that junior dragster is in the winner's circle, and I said, we got to have this kid on. So joining us now, Jake Metternich is from East Peoria, Illinois. He's 11 years old, and he won this past week in Junior Dragster, carrying our WFO Radio sticker. Jake, welcome to WFO. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. So how old are you, 11?
Yep.
Wow. And how long have you been racing?
I've been racing, this is my start of the fourth year.
4 years, so wow, and you got started in the 1290 class, I understand, but you have moved up to the 890 class, which is, that's a big step forward. That's 3 seconds in ET. How do you like it?
I like it a lot. It's different, though. It's a lot different. A lot of changes.
Going a lot faster, that's for sure. Where is your home track? Where do you do most of your racing, and where did you win this race this past weekend?
I won my past race this past weekend at St. Louis and Gateway.
Gateway.
Madison, Illinois.
All right.
Yeah. My home track is Cordova. That's the first track I ever raced at in 1290. But I never really got. We switched a lot of tracks. We travel a lot.
You travel a lot. Well, you're in a good part of the country with a lot of tracks. Unlike us on WFO Radio, we're in southeastern Florida where we got to drive a million miles just to get anywhere. You have a lot of options. Now, tell me about the race you won. I understand you had a 004 reaction time in the semis and a 009 in the final, one over to win your race. Tell me about it.
It was a great day that day, and I was kind of nervous because it was a bigger race, and it was only my second race at that track. Well, I kept on winning up, and my friend Clayton, he was there, and I brought my friend along, Brad, and they're all encouraging me to win this race, and I kept on cutting those good lights, and it was a great day, and I was having fun with it, too, which is the best part about it. We were just happy to have a great day and win that race.
And I understand you've got Huddleston Performance Sniper Junior Motor in your car and a Huddleston Performance Whole Shot Clutch helping you take the win?
Oh, yeah. I just love that motor and clutch. It's a great clutch and motor. I really love Huddleston. I like half scale, too, which is the type of car that I have.
Very cool. Now, after you won it, how did you feel? You know, you go through the finish line. You don't know if your light's going to come on. Your light comes on. You're the winner. That's it. The race is over, and you've conquered everyone on this day.
Yeah, I was happy. I didn't know how to explain it to myself when I was in the car. It was crazy.
And do you go with your family? Is it your you already mentioned your friends. Is this your Uncle Eric reached out to us, and so I would imagine he's involved. How much of your family is wrapped up in this racing situation?
Well, basically all my family except for, like, my mom's side. But my dad's side is mostly in it. My dad brings me down there. My mom, were you working? Yeah, she was working. But she didn't make it, but it was a great day.
Well, that is very exciting. So now, all right, you're a good racer, obviously. What do you want to do? I understand you took some time from doing your homework to do this interview, which is great. And, of course, we encourage all the young listeners out there to get their homework done first. Otherwise, there's no racing. But what do you want to do, Jake? You want to have a job? You want to race on the weekends? You want to be a professional racer? What are your goals?
Well, my goal is to be a pro stock driver, kind of like Erica Enders. She encouraged me because she raced juniors, and I believe if I keep doing what I'm doing, I can go out and be like her.
Wow, that is super cool. Well, Jake, thank you so much for carrying our WFO Radio sticker on your dragster, but now I got to ask you, this is the tough one. Have you and do you listen to WFO Radio, or is that your uncle's thing and he just put it on your car, forced it upon you?
I listen to it with him sometimes, but I haven't listened to it too much because he was a far distance away from us. So I listen to it sometimes. I listened to it a few times in the summer last year.
That counts. Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
Yeah, but we're going to listen to it a lot more now.
Yeah. I'm very happy because you're on a show with John Force and Richie Crampton and hopefully Erica. So this is what happens when you win with the WFO Radio sticker on your car. Thank you so much. But, hey, most of all, you did it yourself with a 004 and a 009 back-to-back. Looks like you've got a pretty good driving career ahead of you. And keep doing that homework as well. All right, Jake?
All right.
Thanks.
Well, thank you, guys, and I would like to thank Gateway and my the people that helped me out with the car, my Uncle Eric, and, yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on, and thank you for being a little drag racer out there. We absolutely love it. All right, Jake, talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Jake Metternich with us here on WFO Radio, and that is a new program we are starting here on WFO. So all you junior dragster families and kids out there, if you want some free WFO Radio stickers for your car, self-addressed stamped envelope, Costello Media WFO Radio stickers, P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. If you can put it into the winner's circle and tweet us a picture, we'll have you on the winner's edition right along with the Mellow Yellow Series stars. And who knows, maybe Jake's going to go on to be a Mellow Yellow Series champion in pro stock 10 years from now. Wouldn't that be cool? It is our way of helping the young people out there elevate their media abilities. I think Jake was pretty darn good. Now, somebody who knows a thing or two about media abilities is Bobby Bennett from CompetitionPlus.com. Of course, Competition Plus has been very helpful to WFO Radio since our very early days. And Bobby Bennett, the editor, joins us now for a quick hit at the tail end of the show. Bobby, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you for having me. Joe, I guess you could say WFO is CompetitionPlus.com's first cousin.
Kind of. I like that analogy, the fact that we're in the family, and I greatly appreciate it. And, of course, you post all our shows, which I love. And also, sometimes, you know, if we do something good, you'll even write a little story about it, like the WJ thing, which was just awesome. I got a lot of emails from people who hadn't even heard the interview but read the story and then went back and heard the interview. And so I really love the bouncing back and forth between the audio and the video products that you do, Frank Hawley, all that. But I'm actually wanting you on the show this week because I think you might have done some of your best work, and I want to let the WFO Radio audience know about it. Folks, Bobby and I haven't even spoken to this point. This is like cold stuff happening right now. Wrote a column called Medlin Faces the Confirmations of Life After Death. Something you'd think about, like, well, wait, what is he talking about exactly? Is if you even put, Bobby, in your headline, a very serious subject. It's not the kind of thing that racers normally talk about. It totally transcends the racing discussion to something much bigger than all of us. Give us a brief overview of this column, because I really believe this is some of your best work.
Well, thank you very much, Joe, and it was the most difficult article I've ever written, even dating back to the days when I was 13 years old running around on Sparkway. I agonized over this story for about a month before I really, really got after it. When you have a subject, and it's such a serious subject there, me being a reporter, the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to make sure that this guy wasn't just somebody that was just speaking just to be close to somebody, you know, being a fan or something like that. And the way the story came about, I was walking through the staging lanes at Gainesville, Florida, at the Gator Nationals, and John Medlin spotted me, sought me out, says, "Bobby, I got the perfect story for you." And my response to him was, "Great, John, who am I going to make mad at me this time?" And he says, no. He says, "This guy was in an accident here at the track, and he died 3 times. I said, "Okay, you got my interest here." And he said, and the guy came back with a message from Eric. And then, of course, the journalist in me says, "Okay, John, and I mean no disrespect here, but how much of this is a grieving father just wanting to hear from his son? And I mean no disrespect." And he says, "No disrespect taken, but this guy is the 4th person in the last 2 years to tell me details of Eric's crash that nobody else would have known. There's no way they could have known it." And all of a sudden, I mean, how do you respond to something like that, Joe? I mean, you just sit there and go, "Okay." And I asked John, I said, will you arrange an interview with me and Mr. Thomas Stephanopoulos? And I can spell it a lot better than I can pronounce it. And so I did the interview with this guy, and I'm telling you, this guy, you could tell, he had gotten in a fight with something and lost pretty bad. And in his case, it was a dragster and third-degree burns over about 40% of his body. But Thomas was pronounced dead 3 times during this accident. And without spoiling the whole story for those who have not read it, he came in contact. His claim is that he came in contact with Eric Medlin during the time. So, you know, and I did the interview, and I came back with questions purposely to try to slip him up to see if, and not one time did he waver from what he told me. I'm like, wow, you got my attention here now, because, you know, you have to be really careful about this, Joe. I know you've done interviews, but I don't know if you've ever done an interview where you've had a person that on such a touchy subject like this, have you?
No. I can tell you no. Our stuff's pretty lighthearted. Well, I'm thinking about you, Bobby, and for the WFO audience, look, you got to go to competitionplus.com and you got to read this, because, first of all, Bobby, for you, it took courage to put this out there, because people in general don't want to go near this kind of stuff, because you cannot prove it. It's just the claims of one person. This is what they claim. However, I think it's something that we're all interested in, and I read it and I felt like, wow, what an interesting take. Now, do I automatically believe it? Do I not believe it? What do I think? I don't know. The answer is I don't know. It is causing me to think about this whole thing. Does it sound reasonable? Without blowing the story, basically, while the guy is deceased and they're trying to pull him out of the car, he claims he doesn't even know that he was in an accident, that he feels like he's on the top end of the racetrack just waiting for his crew to come pick him up. Like, where are they? What's going on? He had kind of entered a new parallel reality to him. His body was on Earth being worked on, and in his mind or soul or whatever was somewhere else. That has been tackled in movie after movie and story after story. And here you've got a real person who was in a horrific crash at a track that one of the beloved members of the NHRA family lost his life at, and he claims contact. How can you not report the story and at least let every person read it and make out of it whatever they choose?
Well, Joe, you know, it's one of those things, and you say, yes, it took a lot of guts, but see, the thing is that in this story, I didn't editorialize. I spoke the facts, and just as much as people says, oh, this, you know, that they cannot disprove it more any more than this guy can prove it. You know, he has his memories, but nobody else, you and I cannot disprove he didn't see what he saw, that he didn't experience what he experienced. That's it. I mean, that's one of those things. And so, you know, when I did the interview, I walked away, and I said, you know, do I write this? Do I not write this? How do I write it? How do I approach it? And at the moment, I had a friend that lived down in the area that I probably hadn't spoken to in about 4 or 5 years. And all of a sudden, this person who lived in the Gainesville area, after, mind you this, we hadn't talked in 4 or 5 years. They just out of the blue sent me a Twitter message. And this person just happened to be a nurse at the hospital where Thomas was taken, the Shands Hospital, after the accident. So I conveyed to her, you know, I just had the oddest interview. I said, and it was about a guy that raced down here that had an accident and said he died 3 times. And she responded back to me, oh, yeah, that was Thomas Stephanopoulos. And I'm like, wow. You know, and then all of the details fell into place, and everything he told me, every time I asked him questions and rephrased it, came back with the same answer. And I agonized over this story for about a month. When I tell you I agonized on how to present it, I wrote this story 3 times, and 3 times I crashed it. I just threw it away. I said, this is not it. And then you wonder sometimes, well, if this is true what he says, how close are our loved ones to us that have passed away? And it's no secret that my mother wanted to be a writer. And, you know, she never got to finish. She started writing a book before she died. She died of cancer. And she never wrote it. And I was, you know, and I became the writer. And Joe, as God is my witness, I sat there and I prayed. I said, God, if it's true what these people say, and my mom and dad can be close to me, please let them be close to me. And I'm telling you, Joe, there was a peace that came over my heart within about 15 minutes of that prayer, and that story just flowed right into position. I can't explain it. I can just tell you what happened. And I have goosebumps now telling you this.
Well, and that's why I wanted to have you on. I know maybe some people are listening and saying, wow, this is going really, really heavy into many things that I did not expect when I clicked on WFO Radio, and that is true, and that happens, because we go wherever we need to go at whatever time we need to do it. Bobby has written a great story. Bobby, you know, those conversations and those thoughts, I think people should be having them. I know they are having them. And why not? Why can't it take place in a racing atmosphere in such a serious sport where genuinely every time we show up at the racetrack, we confront the very serious nature of this sport? I applaud you for going there. I think you did a great job with what you had. There are only a couple of possibilities. Here's how I work through things like this. What are all the genuine possibilities? And put them on the table. One, the guy is, you know, an evil man just making it up to be close to drag racers. All right, that's a possibility. Seems really horrible, though, and unlikely, especially someone who went through a horrific tragedy and is a racer himself. Two, it actually happened. That's possible. Sure. Three, he thinks it happened while he was under, you know, when he was deceased. The brain does things when it's deprived of oxygen, or who knows? He believes that it happened, and so who are we to tell him it's not true or it is true? Because he genuinely believes it happened. And
well,
there you have it.
Hold,
like,
hold
those are the opportunities.
Minute, Jeff.
Like,
hold on a minute, Jeff. But one thing the brain cannot do is tell you stuff it had no knowledge of.
That is true. That Just well, that's, John that's true. But even if it's just like even if the naysayers were to be right, like, yeah, it just doesn't add up, I'm even okay with it. I'm even okay with it. Because these conversations about things bigger than elapsed time and traction and clutches and how many fans are in the stands and, you know, why we're alive, those questions got to be tackled by people too. And I think you've done a great job with it.
Thank you, Joe. Sometimes there are in this drag racing world, I've developed a reputation for being the guy that comes in high and tight, telling it as it is, as I see it. But let me tell you something. This story humbled me down to a childhood. I mean, it absolutely is unlike any story I ever wrote. And sometimes we need a story. Each one of us need a story like this to slap us back down so we can see what life is really all about. And as the good book tells us, life is just a vapor. We're here one moment, and we're gone the next.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Bobby, hopefully we're not gone the next. Thank you for coming on.
Amen.
WFO. I appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
Go to competitionplus.com and check it out. Bobby, great job. Thank you so much.
Hey, I couldn't ask for a better first cousin. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Bobby. Bobby Bennett from CompetitionPlus.com with us here on WFO Radio. I know, a very serious subject at the tail end of a very positive, uplifting, and happy show, but I think it is very interesting. The story is out now. It is absolutely hot. You got to get on it. CompetitionPlus.com. Read it and decide for yourself. Well, that brings us to the tail end of another WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Next week is Houston. Of course, send your questions for Alan Reinhart, 954-889-6796. You could email him in as well. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all our social media outlets. And speaking of social media, there is something I want to put out there on the table. Of course, we do this NHRA Nitro show, and we also do our Ignition show. The Ignition show is very different because we try to be humorous. And at very least, we are humorous to ourselves, and we entertain ourselves, and there are even listeners who think we are funny and enjoy ourselves as we talk about the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series and Formula One and IndyCar and even NHRA drag racing. Sometimes we open the phones and take live phone calls. We signal the world with our WFO radio application and our social media, which is why you have to follow. You can call in and interact live, which is great. But what we've been doing recently is using a new technology, and it's been around only a couple of weeks. There are two mainstream apps. There are a couple more that do exactly this, but Meerkat and Periscope is what I am talking about. I use Meerkat, M-E-E-R-K-A-T, more often than I use Periscope. Periscope is owned by Twitter, and you log in with your Twitter account. Meerkat, very similar. But what they do is they enable you to live stream to large groups of people from your phone. It is the next phase or wave or generation or evolution of social media. Why on earth would I want to read 144 characters about what you're doing when I can just tap a button and watch you? And you can show me. And you could say, look, I'm at the McDonald's and I'm about to order a Big Mac, as opposed to tweeting, I'm at McDonald's and I'm about to order a Big Mac. And I can see the person and I can see him ringing you up. That's a crazy inane example of something ponderous and terminal, so that you understand what we're talking about. On this particular morning, my phone buzzed at 7:30 as I'm getting going, and it says that Snoop Dogg is live in L.A. So I click on Snoop Dogg, and sure enough, there he is. It's me, 140 other people, and we're all watching Snoop Dogg. And what's he doing? He's clapping and rapping and singing and having a good time. He says it's 4:30 in the morning, and I'm just having fun with my friends on Meerkat. It's unbelievable. It really is the future. It's a little disappointing. More people in the NHRA and motorsports in general, but really the NHRA, aren't bounding ahead to embrace this technology. I do not think it can be stopped. We're going to talk about it more next week. You could have, there's all kinds of issues about licensing and rights. Like, can any average person just stream something they don't have the rights to? The answer is no and yes. No, they shouldn't. Yes, because no one's going to enforce it. Will they enforce it? Just like with Facebook and Twitter before then, it's really hard to hold back the tide. It opens up a whole bunch of issues. But in the end, I think that the consumer is going to vote that they like it. And here's what we're doing. Here's how we're using it. Our Ignition show, which usually takes place between 4:30, 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern and 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, we are live streaming portions of the show on Periscope and Meerkat. So follow at WFO Radio so you can see inside our studio and you see what's going on. Live interaction for portions of the show. I don't know why every driver is not periscoping or meerkatting their autograph sessions, their fan interactions, their sponsor group speeches to their fans. It is the best way. If social media was a way to get closer to your fans, this is absolutely including them in your life. They become your very close friends and compatriots. It's amazing. And initially, in the first 3 weeks, I've done some testing. I love it. I love it. It's a game changer. Total game changer. Boy, it's really crowded on the plane. I'm not going to tweet about that. I'm going to meerkat it or periscope it. So I know a lot of people listen to WFO Radio because we tread into these territories very often first. If not, we try to be as close to the razor's edge as possible. We try. And this is one we've been at the very beginning, from the first day the app was out. Had it, messed around with it, did some stuff here and there. Now we're doing more. We're very fortunate. We have our own studio, so we don't have rights issues. We're a show. We own the rights. We're streaming. So if you want to see inside our studio, if you want to see what's going on, be around, download Meerkat, get Periscope for your devices, and we're going to show you exactly what's going on. And as we travel the world, you can check out certain things. And I imagine it's going to take time for all the issues that are going to emerge with people talking about this to be worked through. So it'll be interesting to see how that all develops. All right, folks, that's going to do it. We'll see you next time. Greatly appreciate Jake. Thanks for coming on. Bobby Bennett, great story. Erica, double-double. What can you say? Double-double. Richie Crampton, the Crampton Initiative to bring on more Australian fans. You keep winning, we gain listeners. Simple as that. And John Force. Great to hear John moving forward. I love what John Force has to say. It's a new day. It's a new dawn in John Force Racing. And of course, Alan Reinhart, the guy has a hearse. What's he going to do with it? Keep tuning in. You'll find out. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio. Music by Clearside. WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
Thank you, Joe. I feel like I've won the NHRA National event. I'm on WFO Radio.